There we go.
There we go.
Great. So as Bob said, I'm a toxicologist interested in child health related issues, but really interested in how we present information. My view is that we know how to learn more and more about less and less. What we don't do a good job is putting the information together so we can make better decisions given the information we have. And this was one of our approaches, Particles on the Wall, where we tried to package information about science, art, and humanities together to talk about a very complex issue. And of course, I have no financial relationships, except the one that we're always looking for money. So if anybody has any money they want to spend on this project, I'm always looking for that. But so what is Hanford? It always surprises me, and even in Washington State, a lot of people don't know what Hanford is. And thinking of Washington State has got a long history in all things related to nuclear issues. And it started in 1945, actually a few years earlier than that, and Hanford really built one of the first industrial-scale nuclear reactors to create plutonium. And Hanford went on to build 9 reactors on the Columbia River, and they put out most of the plutonium, a good percentage of the plutonium that ended up in the nuclear weapons used in a Cold War. So now what's left of Hanford, most of these reactors have been mothballed. Now we have the largest cleanup project in the world and one of the most contaminated sites in North America. So the question is, how do we talk to people about that? How do we continue working and supporting the cleanup effort around Hanford? So our approach was looking at Particles on the Wall, where we tried to bring together arts, literary arts, visual arts, and I should go back here for just a second just to mention this project's put together with Diane Dickman supporting the visual arts, Nancy Dickman literary arts, and I support the science part. And this idea of Particles on the Wall literally came from a happy hour beer that we're having together at one of our local pubs in Seattle, and it was supported by Bill Withrop, a really noted poet. And we sort of brainstorm about how do we get the information out, how do we get people together to learn more about Hanford and support the arts. So this is just an example of some of that. You can see some of the visual arts in the upper left. On the right is a T-shirt. We collected a number of T-shirts that are really interesting. We have some Geiger counters, things like that. And the center piece is at Central Washington University exhibit that we held there. So this is a traveling exhibit. So we bring this material together, and it travels around from site to site. And at each new site, we do a call for artists. So we try to bring in new material. And we have a book that goes with it. The book is out in the audience someplace. There, Steve Whitaker has it. You can pass it around. Take a look at the book that we have for it. And, of course, we have a website, particlesonthewall.org. It just shows how we tried to do that. And that's a picture of Bill in the upper right-hand corner there. But you can see we tried to bring the science. We have the science help explain the art, and the art help explain the science. So you're really trying to reach out to people in different ways, both from a intellectual standpoint, but also from a gut reaction to this. Hanford is a very complicated place because of the number of people that were there. And if you're really interested in looking at that, Kate Brown wrote a great book called Plutopia. Anybody seen that book? Really interesting book that looked at the Soviet equivalent to Hanford and looked at Hanford and addressed the cultural issues that sort of made those cities thrive. This is an exhibit called Vitrification. I love this title, A Little Alchemy, Humor and the Truth. And this is looking at a really nice piece that by Linda Rockwood. And it turns out the city of Seattle had this piece stuck in a warehouse. So we were able to find it and get it out and put it on display at one of our exhibits. But she was looking at vitrification. So the vitrification is all about turning the nuclear waste that's stored in big tanks on the Columbia River into glass rods that are both to corral the radioactivity. Right now, we've got a number of those leaking tanks, and they just found out one of the double-shelled tanks is leaking, and that material is headed toward the Columbia River. So the question is, how do we really save the Columbia River, and what kind of a grave threat we have to the Pacific Northwest? In addition, you know, all things nuclear, on the Hanford grounds is the Columbia Generating Station, which is an operating nuclear reactor of GE Mark II, the Fukushima-style nuclear reactor, which some of us are working to shut down. And we just came out with a report on the seismic conditions there. So we're continuing working with that. And the Bangor submarine base in Bremerton is the largest concentration of nuclear weapons in the world. It's where the Trident subs come and go. Has anybody been to Hanford? Anybody here been to Hanford? Oh, wow, that's great. at least we've had a little sense of the property out there. This is another, some close-ups of the Linda Rockwood piece, and one of the poems called Riddles. What doesn't like soap, shampoo, or water, but binds with conditioner to hair? What resembles snow or rain or air? What is invisible, smells like nothing, sounds like listening? What is the consistency of sand, ground pepper, or pumice stone? What goes by the names, black rain, bikini snow? What can be waited out? What can kill you? What is harmless? It's another piece that looks at through fence posts at Hanford. In the center of that is the old school of Hanford. So this brings a look at the people that were removed from the Hanford, the village of city of Hanford, the town of Hanford, in 42. They were just told they all had to leave. They had 1 month to get their bags together, and they were essentially removed from their land, paid a pittance for their land. And they used a school here during the nuclear build up as a sort of the headquarters of the construction projects that was going on. Now it's sort of abandoned. It's one of the buildings, if you take the tour of Hanford, you sort of see this abandoned building. And this is a poem by Bill Withrop, you know, a great friend, and it was unfortunate he passed away right before our first exhibit. He burns with prostate cancer, carried plutonium home in his underwear, ashes of Trinity, ashes of Nagasaki. So the idea with providing some of the science background is to help people understand. A lot of people don't know what plutonium is, so it's help with the science. We help people learn more about this underlying science of radioactivity. This is an example of one of our science factoids. So throughout the exhibit, we have these science factoids, and we try to pair them up with poems or other material. And this is obviously of what happened in Nagasaki on August 9, 1945. Where they killed 40,000 people, another 40,000 died after. And this is the plutonium that was in Fat Man, came from the B reactor at Hanford. The B reactor is now being classified as a historic monument. I'm not sure I got the name right for that, but some historic preservation there. So the question is, how is that going to be presented to the public? Is it are we worshiping the fact that we stopped World War II, or are we delving into the fact we also killed many thousands of people and destroyed Nagasaki, as well as Hiroshima? So it's a tug of war between how you present the issue. It's another piece, a really interesting piece, and a little what goes with it is by Deborah Greger. What did you drink? The milk of the child? The doctor will ask, the voice of reason, milk from the dairy downwind. So to understand the downwind, you have to know that the Green Run, where they intentionally released iodine-131, trying to track where radiation went. This was kept secret from the people that lived around Hanford. Didn't come out until many years later under Freedom of Information. So to understand this quote from Deborah Greger, and as a poet, you have to understand a lot of the history and what happened, what the downwinder story is all about, and that iodine is sequestered in the thyroid, and you can get thyroid cancer from taking in radioactive iodine. So there's a lot of science that we try to couple with this to understand better what's going on. This is the leakers. This is a great exhibit. It's 67. And the key word here is confirmed leakers. So they've confirmed that 67 of the 177 tanks are leaking. So how many more are unconfirmed that are leaking? Now they've got more than 67 confirmed leakers. This is a very fun exhibit. And sort of the irony of this exhibit was we've mounted it several times, and a couple times ago, some of those little containers started leaking. So we really had a leaking art exhibit on our hands. We've since changed that. There's some more at the Washington State University, some other pieces that we had at another exhibit. So the idea was to travel this around Washington State. Our funding comes from the Washington State Department of Ecology, and we tried to get the exhibit down in Portland, and they were not willing to fund our exhibit going to Portland, so we arranged some other funding for that. So this exhibit has been in Washington State as well as Portland, Oregon. This is at the Central Washington University Museum of Culture and Environment, where we collaborated with the museum there on campus to mount the exhibit. And this is our most extensive presentation of Particles on the Wall. Really fine exhibit, some of the pieces in it. And the challenge has been, obviously, Not everybody can afford to have the exhibit because shipping the art around gets expensive. So we put together a series of educational posters. So we have 7 posters. This is an example of one of them. So the idea was you could put the posters up, sort of put it in context what's going on at Hanford and all things nuclear, as well as put up local art pieces around the posters and sort of have a traveling particles on the wall exhibit that's more focused on your issues locally. So that's been very fun, and I think the posters come out very nicely. So the posters are sort of thematic about different issues as with art and science combined. And a little bit of history. Our first exhibit was at Cafe Allegro in Seattle, Washington, in January 2010. We've had it in 9 locations now. And we've had a number of articles, press releases, things like that, which has been very fun. And we have the book, which I hope you're going to see. We're now working on the 3rd edition. The 2nd edition has been sold out. And the posters along with the website. So this is the book. It's a free ebook as well as a hardcover book, so you can download as a PDF file or as an ebook to look at this. And the book is designed to sort of go with, have the science explain some of the art as you flip through it. And it's been, we're now working on the 3rd edition of the book. And I want to thank our funders, the Washington State Department of Ecology, and they take no responsibility for this presentation. IND, my nonprofit, and WPSR should be out of there too. We've worked with some great staff, Daniel Noonan and Meredith Holliday, our current staff members, as well as Misty Nickel and Nick Thorpe in the past. And you get more information. We have a website called WAMNEC, the Washington Nuclear Museum and Education Center, sort of a virtual museum. It's got a lot of information about all things nuclear. And one of the important things we did when we got this grant from the Department of Ecology was there was a very simple wordage in the grant that we could look at the worldwide implications of Hanford. When we first got that, it was 4 years ago now, we first got that grant back. First thing I did was go to those pages, because Hanford has had an impact worldwide. You look at the uranium mining, it's been a big issue, whether it's been the Congo or other states in the United States, Navajo Native Americans and their problems with mining uranium, to where the uranium rods are manufactured in the United States, to other testing. Anybody been to Las Vegas? Gone to the testing museum? Nuclear testing museum? What? So next time you go to Las Vegas and get tired of going to the gaming tables, you should go to the nuclear testing museum. So they have a museum, because right outside of Las Vegas, near Yucca Mountain, where they had talked about storing this stuff, is a nuclear test site, where they set off over 1,000 nuclear weapons. So you can get a tour of that. It's very interesting to tour that area and see what they did. So that's one of the impacts of Hanford, because much of the plutonium that was set off at outside of Las Vegas was produced at Hanford. So there's also the Marshall Islands and there's other sites. So we have a map that sort of explores that, but the idea was we could look at the worldwide implications of Hanford. And that's where I think we need to look. We need to remember that it was not just Hanford and the mess they made there, but it also had, they created messes worldwide. And also, we've just redesigned the Particles on the Wall website, so I encourage you to go check that out also. And that's it. I'm happy to take questions. Yes?
I wonder what your experience has been exhibiting and talking to people as you get closer and closer to Hanford and
try to. Yeah, so the question is, what has been our experience as we got closer and closer to Richland area and the Hanford site and talking to the people? That's actually a very good question, because there is some sensitivity. Some people, we are very careful with the exhibit to try to make it fairly neutral. We do not take a position on the nuclear testing and build up at Hanford. We try to point out the factuals, try to stick to the facts very carefully, although some of the poems can be pretty edgy. And the exhibit has been in Richland Library, and we try not to self-censor, but there was some poems that were not put up at that site for fear of offending people. But, you know, it is an issue, and I think that's one thing we tried to explore, was some of the complexities around that, and hopefully some of the poems and visual arts get at that issue. Yes?
When you said that Hanford was the world's most polluted site, I had to wonder if Fukushima is now.
Yeah. Yeah, Fukushima. You got Fukushima, Chernobyl, and Mayak in the Soviet Union. Is their equivalent city is pretty polluted also, because they did a lot of pollution in the river there. So yeah, that I would, you could certainly argue that Fukushima with their uncontrolled meltdowns is a big problem. But I think the thing that sets Hanford apart is the enormous amount of liquid waste that's in the tanks. And they've got to get that waste out of the tanks. So they are breaking down. The tanks were meant the last 20 to 40 years are way past the tanks, and those tanks are closer to Columbia River. So I think it, for us in the United States, it is a grave threat to the river in the Pacific Northwest. Yes? To best of my knowledge, there's been no systematic effort for that. You know, there is some, the Savannah River is another example of this, is who had the dirtiest jobs on the site. And they would bring, like they've done in Fukushima and Chernobyl and other sites, they'd bring in sort of day laborers that would do the worst jobs, get exposed to radiation, and then move on. And these people are not tracked. So the people that actually lived at Hanford, have better records of, were usually given, quote unquote, safer jobs, less radiation, less environmental exposure. But, you know, on the other hand, they have tried to track some of them, like beryllium, for example. There's quite a bit of beryllium exposure at Hanford. They've tried to track that. It's pretty, and that's the good and bad thing about beryllium. It's a very specific disease that you can track and trace back to exposure. Where cancer, you can say, well, who knows? So there's a lot of fuzziness around that. But there's been no systematic effort to do that. They have tried to look at some of the, they have done several downwinder studies, and that's probably the most biggest effort to do that. They've tried to look at iodine exposure, radiation exposure, people that were downwind from the releases. And there were a number of releases at Hanford when they were extracting the plutonium from the fuel rods that were irradiated. And the green run comes from when they extract that plutonium. If they don't let things settle down, the short-lived radionuclides, the half-lives are short, die down, they release those gases, that's when they have called the green run. So it was a green, immature extraction process.
Did you have a question?
Time.
Okay. Thank you.